Started at the Thruway in Northwest London. Wednesday, 7th of Tammuz, 6th of July. Rabbi Zoe Freilich Schlitter. Mila, the interaction between medicine and halacha. This week's Torah was sponsored by Leila Nishmois, Rabbi Yosef and Ramosha, Harold Basha Bas Rabbi Yosef, Hannah Blum Bas Rabbi Yosef, Elimelech Ben Fischel, Tzvi Ben Fischel, Hashem Yimkim Demehem, Shenergu Al Kiddush Hashem, Tezvov Sivan Tovshin Dalet.
Good morning, Rabbi Say. Good morning. When I was asked to speak, this was what was on my mind, and therefore, given the late notice, this is what I'm going to speak about. But there's the Milo when it's on my mind, is actually I was present in it, ligging in these sugyas. So, it's a Shaila in Hilchas Mila, and it covers the intersection, as the title said, with refuah, with medical, with some medical aspects. So the outlying question is like this. When you have a child who is ill, can you do the Mila? Under what cases can you do the Mila? So I want to give you a case, just to get your teeth into, and then we can sort of discuss it from that basis. So a baby caught an infection at birth, a lung infection. So the baby was very severely ill, needed to be in the pediatric intensive care unit, was unable to breathe unaided, and needed support for his breathing. Baruch Hashem, he recovered, and after a few weeks he was discharged. However, he was still feeling the effects of the infection, and to that extent his breathing was belabored, was very hard for him. So although he was able to breathe unaided, this had a knock-on effect that he was unable to ingest enough milk to actually help him thrive. In short, he was breathing unaided, but he was still under the effect of the infection, and in order to supplement his feeding, he needed a feeding tube. So now you have a baby who's recovered from an infection, still weakened from it. The weakness expresses itself he's not able to ingest adequate sustenance, and he needs support for that. Now the question was, can you do the bris on such a baby? That's really what I want to focus on, and just breaking that down and discussing that. So,
the baby can't breathe.
The baby does not need any support for his breathing. However, because he is still working very hard on his breathing, and it's belabored, it's harder for him. Therefore, by the time he's finished breathing, he has expended so much energy that he is no longer able to feed himself adequately. So the baby's able, has got all the marachas, all the ability to feed, but he's just too schwach to feed. So he can feed somewhat, but not enough to thrive. And therefore he's got a feeding tube in order to top up his daily calorie intake. So that's the situation that we're talking about.
Feeding the baby by tube?
They're feeding the baby partially by whatever method, I don't know what it was, and partially by tube.
Not naturally, in other words.
Partly naturally, because he's able to feed naturally, but he's not able to ingest enough in order to thrive, and therefore he needs to be topped up with...
By a
feeding tube. Is that clear?
Enough strength to suck.
He can feed himself, he's able to, but he's not able to feed enough because he's too schwach from the residual effects of the infection on his breathing. Therefore, he needs support in his, not in his breathing, support in his feeding. So that's the case that we're talking about. So what's the shayla? So what looks to?
Can't do the bris.
Okay. Can you do the bris at this point? Very simple question. The baby is pink. He's let's say 6 weeks old, he's smiling, he's behaving as babies do, but he has a feeding tube because he's unable to feed himself fully. But otherwise, he's robust and in good health, as much.
I think he's got a breathing problem.
Right. Okay, so that's the shayla. Can you do the bris? So, you'll be surprised to hear that this baby has his bris. It was about six weeks, 2 months old, he had his bris. Now the question is, does everybody agree with that? So I'm just bringing out that as an example, and v'cheina v'cheina haba. This is a common question, that is when you have a baby who is. And let me just refine that slightly. That means avada we're talking about where they consulted with the doctors, and the doctors were very firm that there's no increased medical, there's no risk to do the mila on this baby. Right? If there's a risk to do the mila on the baby, that's poshut. Nobody would have contemplated doing it. That's poshut. Here we're talking about where two doctors, two Yirei Shamayim doctors, both were consulted with this baby, and they both concurred that the mila is lemala umirid, will not make a difference to this baby. They're perfectly satisfied from a medical perspective to do the mila, to do the bris. The shaila is in halacha. So that's the question. Let me just repeat it to make it clear. You have a baby who's been ill. He's still got residual effects of the infection so much that he cannot feed unaided. He needs feeding support. Now, the doctors have looked at him and have said that the mila will incur no risk of life, no danger to give this baby a mila versus another baby. Why? Because this baby, once he's being supported with his feeding, he's fine. Yes, if he wasn't eating, he'd be a problem. But right now, you've circumvented the concern of his lack of nourishment, and therefore he's fine. So therefore they say medically it's fine. The shayla is halachically, and that's where we have this question: whose decision is this? Is this the doctor's decision, or is this or does the halacha have something to say on this? So I asked the moel who did the mila where he was coming from, because I wanted to understand why. And he said to me as follows. Now, if you look in the Rambam, there's a lot of good taina. I'm going to break that down. So we know this halacha is a baby who's ill, you don't do the mila. Commonly, you know, a baby who's yellow, you don't do the mila. And that's one halacha. There's another halacha, a baby who's called a chayli kalakuf, a baby who's ill, to be considered, generally speaking, would say that's, let's say, an infection. So that's a chayli kalaguf, a chayli that affects the entire body, as opposed to a small chayli, a koev mu'at, a lesser chayli. So we'll have to discuss those two levels a bit more. But then you have to wait 7 days, me'es le'es, seven periods of 24 hours before you can do the bris. So those are the two primary halachas we are concerned about. A small koev mu'at, a small illness. Normally, the most common example, again, is yellow, a baby who's slightly too yellow. Then you wait until the yellow clears, you do the bris. A more extreme case is somebody who's a baby who's got temperature, a baby who's extremely yellow, needs any medical intervention, an infection. Then you have to wait, or an eye infection, you have to wait 7 days, from when the infection has cleared up. Now, why is that? Why is that? So intuitively, you'd understand it's because of the chashash sekona. And those are the words of the Rambam, and brought down Shulchan Aruch. So I'll read it out. This is Rambam Perik Aleph, Halacha Yud Zayin. He says like this. He's talking about a yellow baby. You wait until the baby returns to normal color, until he viyachs a marav kashak tanim. That's an ailment. One needs to be very concerned about these matters. And you do not do bris until you have a baby who has no ailment, no illness at all. Why? Because sakonis nefoshes is doicha everything. It is possible to do the mila later. All you have to do is wait and do the mila later. But if you do the bris too early, the baby dies as a result. That's irrevocable. You cannot bring back a baby back to life. Mila you can delay, do later. A life you can't bring back. So those are the words of the Rambam, very, very clearly, that the reason why you don't do a baby is because we're concerned that he will die. So therefore, the Moel said, well, here we have a baby. Yes, he may be ill, but the doctors have given a definitive position, which we will accept, that there's no chashash sakona as far as they're concerned. So therefore, why are you concerned not to do the bris? Because there's a chashash b'koach nefesh. There isn't. This baby is fine. We've sought, with the medical interventions, we are holding him in a secure position, and we can go ahead and do the bris. And therefore they did the bris, because there's no sekanos nefoshes. So that's the main taina of those who matter it. So let's now try and break that down. So there's two assumptions that have been made in applying that Rambam to the halacha. What are the two assumptions? So number one is, what is the parameter of sekana that we are looking for? Now the doctors have taken their parameters of pekuach nefesh, their parameters of what their medical knowledge is, and they've applied it to this baby, and they've come to the conclusion they don't see any chashash sekana, which is fair. And we have parallel for that, because in Hilchas Yom Kippur, Tov Rishut Ches, in Hilchas Refuah, we consult with doctors to decide whether somebody should fast. We consult with doctors whether a makkah, whether it's a chashash pekuach nefesh to mechallel Shabbos. Obviously when there's time. But doctors are formative in applying the halachas of pekuach nefesh. So what they've done is we see that doctors can apply halachas of pekuach nefesh. We're now going to apply it here to Hilchas Mila. So, two things. Obviously, we need doctors to apply Hilchas Mila, that's very clear. Because as a male, I don't know what's a blocked tear duct, what's an infected eye. And in many cases, there's a baby who's got showing some signs that are unusual, and it's up to a doctor to define what is normal, what's a chayli. That is clearly what belongs within the parameters of medicine and not within the parameters of halacha. I mean, obviously, halacha empowers a doctor to decide what is a chayli. Here, the difference is we have a baby who is clearly ill. He's clearly ill because he can't feed. The question is, when can you take a baby who's clearly ill and now you can say, okay, even though he's clearly ill, we can do the mila because there's no pekuach nefesh. Right? Just bring that out. A normal case you consult with a doctor is you don't know whether the baby is ill. That, whether the baby is ill or not, that belongs to the expertise of the doctor. Here you have a baby who's clearly ill, the question is defining the chashash pekuach nefesh. So we know the Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Yom Kippur, we do allow doctors to define that. The question is here, is that the correct practice for a doctor? So what would be the tzadat not? The tzadat not is that certain things, Chazal were more chayshish. We see sometimes that Chazal had if you want to call it, more risk averse, more chayshish on certain things. And the question is, where is Hilchas Mila within that? So I want to run through that assumption. What is the level of chashash that we are applying in Hilchas Mila? Is it the regular chashash, just the regular threshold of pekuach nefesh, or is it the chazal v'cheshesh mo? Now, where do we find chazal v'cheshesh mo? Find it all over. But let's say mitzitza b'peh. The Gemara says that you have to do mitzitza on a baby on Shabbos, right? And the Gemara is very clear, it's mishum chashash sekona. Now, any moel will tell you, any doctor will tell you, that we don't see today that doing mitzitza has any impact, a discernible impact on the health of the baby. It doesn't have, to make it clear, it doesn't have a negative impact, although they're detractors, it really doesn't. Not mitzitza prepared, there's no data that says it has a negative impact. However, neither does anybody suggest that we have any data to show mitzitza, but mitzitza or mitzitza prepared is positive impact on the health of the baby. And yet Chazal tell us you have to michal Shabbos for it. So what does that tell us? That tells us there are certain times that Chazal will cheshish more than may be apparent to us. Some say svara that, you know, the doctors, they've got their percentages when it comes to pekuach nefesh. But nefesh achas Mizrael, if Chazal were to know, for example, that one baby's life over the lifetime of the practice of Mila, over the 4,000 years we've been practicing Mila, would be saved by doing Metzitza Bepeh, so they'd say doing Metzitza Bepeh on Shabbos. It might be one out of 20, 30, 40, 50 million, but it would be a reason to Mechal Shabbos. So Chazal can sometimes be very, very attuned and much more sensitive to the chashoshes of pekuach nefesh. And if you look at the halacha, I think you'll see that is the case. Because when we read out the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Reish Samach Gimel, Reish Samach Beis, Sif Beis. So what is the definition of a chayli that we're looking for? Aber im Cholak be'echal meivara kegoin shekavle einav ke'ev mut. If somebody has a ke'ev mut, a small tzar, okay, it's by mamtina le'yad she'avri. You wait until he's healed. Ke'ev mut is a very, very low threshold. It doesn't mention any word of sakonos nefashos there. Likewise, the Rambam says shum chayli, any ailment. The Shach brings down that amishum tzar v'chayli kolshu, any tzar or any chayli kolshu, we wait. Now, so we don't see that there's a threshold in this chayli that we're concerned about. Any chayli, we wait. Now, of course, it's clear that the background to that is pekach nefesh, because that's mavoy in the Rambam. Because after he says shum chayli, he also says v'tzarach nazar b'dvarim heilu haba. You have to be careful because he yashan nachsin nefesh achas miyisrael. So you do see an element of pekach nefesh here. So the Rashba says in Yevamos that what we're concerned about here is that you take a baby who's ill, who's suffering from an ailment, and you stack up. You don't see any pekach nefesh. That's clear. There's no pekach nefesh. You stack up the tzar of the mila. Now you stack up the tzar of the mila on a baby who's already struggling. Then you can end up with that can tip the balance over. So that's the svara here, that there is an element of pekach nefesh. But what I'm trying to bring out from Lashon Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam is that there's a very, very low threshold for that. They're not saying, well, you have to see the pekach nefesh. They're saying it's keiv mut. Keiv mut is a small tzar. If a baby has any sort of tzar, we'll put a delay in the mila. Shum chayli. I was actually at a chasna last night, and I was sitting next to somebody. He asked, what am I speaking about? So I told him the outline. And he said, I'll share you a story. He said, my baby was born 12 years ago. And the night of the Yom HaShemini, he had a bit of parent's intuition, and he wasn't happy with the baby. So they consulted with the mole. The mole consulted with the doctor, and they did everything kadasa chadin. No complaints against anybody. They did the mila that next morning. Within 24 hours, the baby was in hospital with sepsis. And it was a close call. Brasha and the baby pulled through. Sepsis and infection. Blood infection. Now, very clearly, he said, the doctor said that the mila had not caused the infection. However, the baby had caught an infection. And what happened was, the doctor said that the mila was fine. But when you stacked up a baby who was undergoing, who had the beginnings of an infection, and you put on the mila, the trauma of a mila, minimal, but it is a trauma, not nothing, that pushed this baby over the edge. So it's just using that as an example. I don't mean to be covet anything from an anecdote, but it's just to bring out the what we're talking about. We're talking about stacking up ke'iv mu'at, we're talking about the tzar mila on top of that. But it's not really yet, that's not so firm as proof. It's very indicative. But I wouldn't say it's firm proof.
The fact of chashash pekach nefesh, then? What you're saying is it'll push over the edge and become a pekach nefesh.
Definitely. Even the ke'ev mut, the underlying is ishtet chashash, it's mavun, the Torah is ishtet in the Rambam, underlying that is a chashash of pekach nefesh. We would not delay the mila just because the baby is ill if we didn't see that there's any risk. The question, I'm just pointing out, what I'm heading to is, what is that level of risk? Is it something that is in the tchum, within the field of the doctors when they're assessing that? What I want to point out is that it's actually more, much, much, much more. But the lashonis you'll see are shum chayli, are very, very shvach chayli. Now, I did find, when I was looking around, the attack of the Avnei Nezer, and Shuvas Avnei Nezer, Shin Chavov, Yeridea, he says, when he's coming at it for a different angle, but, and he says this point, the hasakana hu mishun tsuruf have a cave ayin, he's talking about a sore eye, in sa'amili stakin. Hu chashash rochuk. He says, he's got a different chesher, and maybe we'll come back to later. It is a chashash rochuk, a very distant chashash. And he says, v'innishal l'roifim, if you ask doctors, betach yeimri shimalu tekef. The doctors wouldn't be concerned about this. So the Avnei Nezer is clearly taking on. We're talking about a chashash that was beyond what the doctors would be assessing for. Which I think fits with the Lashon. And then there's a Divrei Malkiel, Shuvas Divrei Malkiel, and he makes the following point. He says, the question is like this, can a doctor is a doctor able to assess the Ke'ev Mu'at and say that this is not going to cause a Pekach Nefesh? So he points out that, as we said, you find we do rely on doctors. Hilchas Yom Kippur, Hilchas Shabbos for Pekuach Nefesh. However, in Hilchas Mila, it does not say, when you learn through the Sif, it says, if he's Kayev Mu'at, go and ask a doctor. Now it says that when it wants to in Hilchas Yom Kippur, it says you've got a Shaila, go and ask a doctor. Hilchas Shabbos, go and ask a doctor. Dea Kadea. In Hilchas Mila, it does not. It does not mention, if you have a Kayev Mu'at, or if you have a Chayli, go and ask the doctor whether this is enough to push off the Mila. Now, again, Avada, we do ask a doctor whether there is a Chayli, because we need to know whether there's an ailment to start off with. But once you have an ailment, nowhere does it say in any of the Shulchan Aruch or the Nosei Kelim that you ask the doctor. And therefore the Divrei Malkiel says, evidently, that this is not something that is up to the doctors. So, why? Now, he's taking on, the Chashash here is beyond that. Now, why would that be? So I'm going to say over a few svaras. Now, let me just recap. What we're saying is that in Hilchas Mila, once we have a baby who has passed the threshold of being ill, so in our case of our baby that we're talking about, the baby was ill, can you say that therefore there's no Pekuach Nefesh and therefore do the Mila? So remember, we're focusing on that, what is the parameter Pekuach Nefesh we're using here? Are we using the normal parameter, or are we using Chashash Rochuk? Are the doctors using the right parameters to measure this? And the answer, it seems to be according to Divrei Malkiel, the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, is that, no, they're using a conventional metric, the metric used in Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Yom Kippur, but that's not what we're using for and looking for in Hilchas Mila. Now, why is that? So a few svaras are said. The Divrei Malkiel, founder of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Emes Liakov, and Yeridea, they say that when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, there, it's a shaila of, there's a difference of Sheva al Tasa. The shaila is, should you do something or not? When it comes to Mila, he says, your question is to do the Mila. You're to kumva say, you're actually going to do something that's going to be potentially mazik, and therefore Chazal were much more cheshish. Let me bring that out. In Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Yom Kippur, the shaila is, you've got somebody who's, you're not sure if he should fast or shouldn't fast. So what are you going to do? You're not going to eat. The person's not going to eat. That's Sheva al Tasa. You're not actively causing anything. You're just, okay, he's not going to eat. On a case of somebody who's ill, got a Makas Cholol on Shabbos, so the question is, do we treat him, or do we not treat him? So it's a Sheva al Tasa. If we say there's a Chashat, if you say there's no Pekach Nefesh, we'll do nothing. He says, hey, Bamila, you're actively going to do something which could be a potentially issue. And therefore the threshold, the bar is set so much higher. Because you're actively going to do the Mila, the bar is, yes.
I think that in these cases, the Moel is a bigger expert than the doctor. Because the Moel sees the baby before and he sees him afterwards. So surely you aren't be going by the Moel. And that's the reason why, because it's more practical to use the Moel. Common sense.
I'll speak as a moel.
You see, you're arguing halakhically, do we need the doctor to come and give a... We need the moel to come and give a...
Yeah, but as a moel, we don't have the expertise that a doctor has.
You do the mila, and you see the baby the following day, and you see all the babies,
Yeah, but I don't have an innate understanding of the medical aspects. I have a very, very localised expertise, very, very specific, and it's not very broad. And Moelim don't have necessarily a broad... We don't suppose that Moelim are experts in the medical aspects beyond the very, very narrow field of doing the Mila and making sure the baby is safe from the aspects of the Mila. Other conditions are not within...
doctors have never seen the Mila, they've never seen the baby before.
Okay, that's a different issue. That's a different issue. How does a doctor deal with a Mila? How does he assess a Mila? That's fair. So the easiest to have a doctor a frum doctor who understands Mila. But to say that a Moel should be giving medical positions different, when you have two disciplines that interact, everybody's got to stay within their boundaries. Now, the question is what the boundaries of the doctor here. But it's clear, when a male starts getting involved in medical aspects that are beyond his tum, just it's not a good idea. Mila's got to stay within its boundaries, and Rafu's got to stay within its boundaries. Don't want anybody going over the level of expertise, and Moelim do not have that level of expertise that you're assuming that we do have. So I'm telling you, we don't.
If the doctors are male...
If the doctors are male, so it's very, very good. The question is here, does any human have the ability to say, what threshold are we looking for? So, I mean, are we using the threshold of Hilchos Shabbos? Or we're pointing to that we're using a higher threshold. We're using a much more chomedic threshold. I saw others say this from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Obach, says a svara. He's coming at a different aspect, but he says that we're much more machmir in Hilchos Mila than other things because it's a mitzvah, and we don't chas v'sholom want a mitzvah to come to a hezek. We don't chas v'sholom want that.
Why is it preferable not to take a doctor moir?
Why? You have to explain to him why, yes. Professional doctors are moil.
Because he's also medically not so moil.
So firstly, you have to know, does he know Mila as well as the moil?
Yeah.
Okay. He may not. Some people have, as Yekas have such, some Yekas have the Shonhoga. I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, carry on.
It wouldn't help for this, Nisa. Now, So Shlomo Zalman says a svara that you find for mitzvahs we are generally more machme, we're very concerned about causing a hezek. He gives there's an example for this. He doesn't bring it, but we dip the moro, famously the Gemara says mishum kapo. We dip the moro into chareses because we're worried about kapo, a certain adverse effect or some poison aspect. Now, I'm sure most of you eat lettuce on a Shabbos, you have a lettuce and a salad many times, but nobody's makbid to put their lettuce with charoses, generally. Right? The Rosh is talking about, even more so, that if you're eating your lettuce, mishum karpas as well, do you have to dip into charoses, mishum achalik rishonim? And he's saying you don't. And he says why? Because it's only when you're doing a mitzvah that Chazal were extremely choshesh for hezek. You want to, in your normal day-to-day life, they didn't have this parameter. It's not chashash pograf nefesh, but a mitzvah should come into hezek, we go to all ends. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman uses that svara. So what you're seeing here is that with regards to mitzvah mila, the parameter we're using is far, far beyond the normal standards that we use in Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Yom Kippur. Therefore, and that's what the different Malkiel's point is, that for a doctor to say that this baby, who's a chayli, who has an ailment, there's no chashash b'kolach nefesh, he's right, using the parameters that he's not used to using, which is Shabbos, which is Yom Kippur, that's fair. But what we're seeing here is in Hilchos Mila, Chazal were much more chashash. They went way beyond, a bit like the Charesis, they went way beyond that. And that's why we don't find a position in Shulchan Aruch, not in the Poskim, that when you have a cave mut, when you have a baby who has an ailment, that you should consult with a doctor. And the practice is you don't, you do not. So therefore, that's the first point. That's the first point that I think that this the person who did the Mila, my personal opinion is it was wrong to do the Mila on this baby because, number one, that the threshold we are using is far more. And he was looking at the wrong parameter. He's using the metric of Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Yom Kippur, and that's not the metric we're using in Hilchos Mila. Hilchos Mila were much, much more cheshish. Therefore, that was not appropriate. The second point, I'll just address that briefly, is that the other hanocha is that the Rambam is clear. The reason for the takana is pikuach nefesh. Now, you'll often find the Chazal have a sibba for the takana, and then they have a gedder for the takana, and the two don't necessarily match. I'll give you one very simple example. The Gemara Beitzah, Daf Beis, has a egg. Beitzah shenol d'biyantiv is osa. Gemara has many reasons. One of the reasons is because Chazal forbade a fruit that fell off a tree. A person might come to take off the apple from the tree. Therefore, if an apple falls off the tree on Yom Tov, it's muktzah. Now, because of that, osa. So I said osa. Is osa, you cannot eat the apple that falls off. Zok the Gemara, because according to one shitta, they asa the beta shnal de Yom Tov, because included in that, because it has certain similarities, it's an item of food that came out of another thing. So think about there's a tree and a fruit comes off. So we're taking a chicken and an egg comes out. The chicken's the tree and the egg comes out is the fruit. So the gezeirah was gezeirah shem yalav yiklosh. We're worried you're going to climb up a tree and pull off an apple. We asked the apple. Included in that is a beit shenol d'biyantov. Right? Now there's no chashash. You're going to climb up the chicken and pull the egg off. And if you do, it's not a problem. It's not the sibba of the gezeirah doesn't apply. But Chazal's geder was broader. So you can have a sibba and a geder, and they don't necessarily correlate. In fact, they normally don't. So now, the hanocha here of this the moil was that if I find the sibus pekach nefesh and I can demonstrate, let's say he was right, there's no pekach nefesh, then the halacha won't apply. Right? That's assuming the sibba and the geder are the same. What happens if we could prove that the sibba of the gzera, which is clearly pekach nefesh, doesn't always, the geder is not always the same. We can find a case where there's no pekach nefesh and it's still got that same din, then we prove that the geder and the simon and the sibba are not the same, in which case, what Chazal would have done is they said, if you have a baby who's ill, don't do the milah. Why? Because normally babies are ill, there's a chashash pekach nefesh. But they didn't say, and if you find a baby who doesn't have pekach nefesh, you don't do it. They said, a baby who's ill, don't do it. Like our egg. You don't take, the egg is os muksa. Is the reason pekach nefesh? Yes. But does that mean if there's no pekach nefesh, not mutter? Not necessarily. So that's not, we ran out of time today, but there's ways of proving that the geder and the sibba are distinct, and you can have a case where it's osa, where the baby still has the status of a chayla, even though there's no pekach nefesh, and we can demonstrate the klinyan halacha, in which case, it's even if this baby would apply the right parameter and prove it's not pekach nefesh, he's still got a din that the Gemara state, there's a tekana, a chayli, a baby with a chayli kalagof, a baby chayli ktsas, should not have the milah.